in the name of Jesus, the Christ child, to Christian friends. You probably are not surprised to know that sometimes fiction interrupts with Christian fact. So let me just see how bright the good people of Trinity are. A little Christmas quiz from a former teacher. Jesus was born in a barn, true or false? False. There were no barns as we know barns today. In fact, wood was in short supply. More than likely, it was a hollowed out cave, some sort of rock formation, something that provided some protection. But red with a roof? No. There were three wise men. We don't know. There were three gifts. And imagine the embarrassment if there were four wise men and two duplicated gifts to Jesus. But in the end, we don't know that there were three. Those wise men were there at Bethlehem at the stable. No, although every nativity, and I didn't look, I should have before church started tonight, every nativity will have them there. And I think you know this one. Even though Brunners up in Frankenmuth might want to argue with you, Santa was there at the stable too. No, that one's false, and I'm glad that you know that. Did the angels sing? We don't know because it says quite clearly saying, and you can refer back to the gospel lesson if you'd like to. Although a whole handful of Christmas hymns, even in our own hymnal, will have the angels singing and talk about choirs of angels. But in the end, if you want to be literal, it only says that they said these words that we still use as a song today. We know it as the Gloria in Excelsis, and we sing it almost every Sunday, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the sermon. Like the previous two songs, Mary's song and Zechariah's song, in the Bible, they will be formatted with that special indent outdent kind of thing that is reminiscent of the Psalms, almost poetical, almost lyrical. It seems as if the early church used many of these words as songs in order to praise God because, hello, they were very good words. They were inspired words. And so tonight we have the best of the best. And yes, I'm going to call it the Song of the Angels because that's what we're familiar with, and there's really nothing wrong with thinking about it as a song. And tonight, as well as with all the other nights where we've taken a look at these songs, we're going to join the glorious song of the angels because that's what it was all about. Glory, glory to God. Its praises ascend to heaven and it announces heaven sent peace. So if it was a choir of angels, here are some more questions to ponder. How much practice did it take for them to get it right before they performed it to the shepherds? Because as wonderful as the bells sounded tonight, and you did sound wonderful, thank you for that. I doubt very much that that's what it sounded like the first time you practiced. I know a little bit about that. When I would bring the choir here from HVL, they sounded fairly good. I can remember some of the compliments that you gave. I can also tell you they did not sound that good. The first time we practiced, the 10th time we practiced, it took a lot of practice. And it took a lot of pounding out the different parts. And it took a lot of emphasis on projecting the words so that people could hear. I don't think any of that took place with the angels because they came from perfect heaven. And when that song with its singers came from heaven, it was just as perfect. One of the reasons that it is perfect is because it's directed to God. Glory to God. And I think we need to stop right there and ponder the times when that is not the case with us. There's something inherent in our nature, in our sinful nature, that wants to claim glory for ourselves. In fact, that was a seed that led to the first murder, Cain's pride, that he felt wounded when God didn't accept his offering and he accepted his brother's. And when you think about it, that kind of sinful pride where we want the glory extends even into something so holy as the Christmas season. When Dad decorates the tree, he would like a compliment. Oh dear, that's the best job you've ever done in years. When Mom makes the greatest Christmas dinner ever, she would like some compliments. And what child doesn't think, at least just a little bit in their head and their hearts, that they deserved the presents that are under the tree? Glory to me is what cries out from the sinful human heart, but not from the tongue of angels. Glory to God. It's a song that ascends to the heavens. Glory to God in the highest. Now, is it glory in the highest places, or is it glory because God is in the highest places? The good answer for that, the good Lutheran answer, is both, because you can understand it both ways, and both ways are correct. God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the highest, and that's where his that's why he deserves his praise. This is a song that echoed, I'm sure, through the halls of heaven, as angels who weren't there witnessed what was going on with their fellow angels down here on earth. Glory to God in the highest. So much unlike the secular songs that fill the airwaves and fill our ears during this time of year, where the tinsel and the trees are glittering and where Santas and snowmen are glamorized. The best song, really the only song, that should come from the lips of humans as it came from the lips of angels is one that glorifies God. And that's where the praise should go, ascending to the highest heights of heaven so that God's ears are filled with the praise that he so richly deserves. But that still begs the question, why does he deserve this praise? Because it announces heaven-sent peace. I'm a little bit of a word nerd. I like to break down sentences and break down phrases. I love the kinds of phrases that would give you nightmares in grade school English. Prepositional phrases. Remember those? And then adverbial phrases. How, when, or where. There's motion in this song, and not just because maybe the angels were swaying or they were hovering. It talks about angels coming down and singing praises to God because something else came down from heaven. Peace from God in the form of the Christ child. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among humankind. Peace. Could there have been a different gift from God? Maybe some warmer clothes for the shivering shepherds? Possibly. Maybe fuller fleece on the flocks? Yeah, that would have been nice for the pocketbook of the shepherds. But what the shepherds needed and the people in Bethlehem needed and the people of Trinity need is all the same. Peace from God. Peace that comes in the form of his favor. Now back to the liturgy. Glory in excelsis. Glory to God in the highest. Do you remember where that takes place in the liturgy? It's one of the main five liturgical songs that usually make up a normal church service. But the glory in excelsis comes after the absolution. There's the confession of sins, and then there's your pastor who announces that your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus by his perfect life and his innocent death. By the blood of Christ, you are forgiven. And when you hear once again that you're forgiven, because we can never hear that enough, Then you too join the glorious song of angels. Glory to God in the highest. Glory be to the Father, or glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward mankind. Some sort of phrase of that wording is found in the Gloria Excelsis in every communion liturgy. Why is forgiveness so desperately needed by us? Well, let's think about another time where the Bible talks about angels singing and rejoicing. It just so happens to be in the same book that we're in tonight, Luke. If you flash ahead a few chapters to Luke 15, it's the chapter I like to call the lost chapter. That's just my little nickname for it. And hopefully as you read the Bible and become more and more familiar with it, you develop your own nicknames for different chapters, the Good Shepherd chapter, the resurrection chapter. This is the lost chapter. This is the one where Jesus relates three rapid-fire parables about something being lost. There's the lost sheep, and then the lost coin, and then the bulk of that chapter talks about the lost son. It's those first two where Jesus ends with this thought. The first one talks about how there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents when he realizes he needs forgiveness and he confesses those sins and, like we heard in the psalm tonight, begs for God's mercy and rests himself in God's mercy. The angels in heaven rejoice. First parable, heaven rejoices. Second parable, Jesus gets a little more specific. Angels in heaven rejoice. And by the way, the third parable ends with humans rejoicing. The Father inviting the other son. We had to rejoice because your brother was lost and now he is found. Each one of those parables speaks about something that we need desperately. We are lost and Jesus does the finding. We are sinners and Jesus does the forgiving. This is the gift that came with the Christ child. This is the favor the angel spoke of. This is the peace that all mankind so desperately needs. In fact, when you contrast what we have here in Luke chapter 2, with something else that we find in Genesis 3, this is something that God has been promising since the beginning of time. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. And enmity, hatred between us and the devil, means that there's peace between us and God. But that's something that God promised, and that's something that only God could give, and God delivered on that night. And so right after that single angel announced that a Savior was born in Bethlehem and how they could find him, you almost get the idea that there's jostling, there's moving, they can't be silent anymore. All the angels rush in one grand chorus, and they sing this great song. And so do we this time of year. Special music that we had tonight, the special music you're going to hear in the next couple weeks. You're going to have a special song service on the 28th. It all comes down to one thing. We're just practicing for what we will do perfectly with those angels who did it perfectly on that first Christmas, joining their glorious song. Fernando Mendoza, you may know the name, especially after last weekend. On Saturday night, the Heisman Trophy ceremony was held. I rarely watch it. Just so happened I had nothing going on, and I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch this and see what this guy has to say. And it was rather refreshing. Arguably, he did not have the greatest season. He did not have the greatest pass completions, the most yardage, but he did beat Ohio State. And that counts for something. And among all the other things that he did, and he did so well, he thanked his parents, especially his mom who has MS, for all the great things they did in raising the family. And he thanked his former teammates at Cal. And then he transferred to Indiana. He thanked them for supporting him. He thanked his offensive line for protecting him. But the very first thing he did is really the very first thing we should do. Every morning when new breath fills our lungs, every night when we realize we have experienced God's great mercies, he gave glory to God. Don't let it die with Christmas. It's something that God deserves every day. And it's something that's just bursting forth from your heart as it's filled with faith and love toward God. Join the glorious song of the angels. Amen.